Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 24 for November 17th, 2007. Fids and Camley. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by Kajit, the pay-as-you-go cell phone service that's right for kids and right for parents, affordable and totally customizable, no long-term contracts. See Kajit at your local Target or find out more at Kajit.com, K-A-J-E-E-T.com. It's time for Jumping Monkeys. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm doing this kind of like from Minnesota
version. I don't know either, but yeah, you are.
I am.
And maybe you could stop.
That's not nice. I'm just trying to add a little levity. Actually, we're going to have some fun tonight because we have winners.
Yeah, we do. Today, we are going to announce the winners of the Fids and Camley Awards.
You said that wrong. It's kids and family.
No, it's not. I'm not just messing up my words as I often do. No, it's actually called the Fids and Camley Awards.
Well, that's confusing.
And it's a music poll, a kids music poll put on by Bill Child, Stephen Shepard, and Amy Davis.
We had Bill on the show before. He's great.
We did, yeah. Bill, who does the radio show Spare the Rock with his daughter, Ella.
Been listening to that since he was on.
Yeah, it is a great show.
Oh, I love
that. And you can get the podcast for free. And Stephen Shepard, who does a popular kids music website called Zoo Global. He was interviewed on NPR about a year ago. And he's really interesting. And then Mrs. Davis, the lovely Mrs. Davis, tells you what to think.
I love that. That's a blog, but she does a lot of music stuff too. And she's also a soccer mom and does a van playlist, right?
Yeah, minivan rotation. Yeah.
Which is what all of us who drive minivans need this.
Yeah. So they've put on these music awards and they are coming on the show today. Yay. To announce them. Yeah, we're very excited about that. And so that's actually going to take up a lot of the show today. And we're going to play some of them and some of the music. So you can, a lot of CDs are on my holiday gift list for kid and kid friends there. Because it's just, it's so fun. Kids music today is so great.
One list of winners we will not have, however, is the winners in our contest.
I know. We got so many entries. I'm actually still going through them. So you still have a chance. Do you want to play those again?
Do you want to do it again?
I
should give them a chance.
Yeah,
why not?
There are actually six. So that's part of, partly
did
my
we say
fault,
the wrong
so.
Number?
We said in the beginning of the show, we said there were five. And there are actually six.
And what are we playing? What are we playing for, Megan?
We're playing for a copy of the software Peanut Butter PC, which is a kid-friendly desktop replacement. JR, who created Peanut Butter PC, created this little mashup of Disney movies for us.
That was so nice of him.
Yeah, and it's great software. He sent me a copy, and I really like it. And you'll win one copy. And coming up on the show in a few shows from now, we're going to do, he created another contest for classic kid toy sounds.
Really?
Yeah. So we can play
those.
Very,
this is fun. And I have to say, it's not about the winning so much as it's just about the fun, right?
Right. Yeah. So you said the, I think we said the first person to answer. So,
but maybe we got three copies. Maybe we can make it the first three.
We'll pick the first.
Let's be generous.
Three. Yes.
What do you say?
I think we should. Let's we can play those sounds.
Should I play it?
Yeah. Play it again.
These are all Disney films. There are six.
Yes, and if you already entered with five, feel free to enter again.
If we say the first, now they wouldn't even enter now because it's too late, right? But, so maybe we'll make it a random drawing.
We should.
Can you change the contest rules?
I don't know. How about we give one copy to the first.
Gets one. And then we have two more, which will be randomly picked from the remainder.
Exactly. All right.
Listen closely here.
Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Who am I? Who am I? I the indestructible Mushu.
He is quite a catch, isn't he?
No, stop it.
Who's the brains of this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, there's a big surprise. That's an incredible... I think I'm going to have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
Yeah, that's six. I heard six.
Yeah. And a lot of people are having trouble with number four. I think you might think you're getting it, but you
work
might not
on,
be.
Oh, you know why? I know why.
Why?
They're saying a similar name to what it is, but it isn't what you think it is. Mm-hmm. It's the other one.
Yeah. But, you know, trust your instincts first also.
I was going to say, I'll play it again, but you could just rewind it.
Yeah, you can rewind it.
You can
it.
Do your own rewind.
Okay. All right. Moving right along. I also wanted to announce next week on the show, we're going to have Jeremiah McNichols of Z Recommends, and we're very excited to talk to him. And he wanted me to let everyone know that on his site, they're giving away an Exo laptop.
Really? That's neat.
Yeah.
We should do that.
We should do that.
All right. I will.
But Jeremiah's doing it first.
We'll have another contest later. I'll buy us an Exo laptop. Because you know what's neat? If you buy it now, the OLPC program, it's at laptopgiving.org, I think. I'll check that. Is if you buy one, one goes to a child in underdeveloped nation.
Yeah. And I think that we should also get someone to interview on the show about it. Because when we talked about it, neither of us were really as informed as we probably should have been about the program. And so I'm looking for a guest to come on and tell us a little bit more. But in the meantime, you can go
Did we say something wrong?
No, we didn't say anything wrong, but I think both of us were just kind of like, well, we'll look into it, you know, just about the laptop.
It's a cool laptop. It's a very neat laptop, and the idea is very cool. My only misgivings, and they still are misgivings, is maybe we should be giving people food and water rather than laptops.
Exactly.
But we got a lot of, in fact, we'll play these at a later date, but because we don't have time today, but we got a lot of responses from people said, quite rightly, you know, this is just as important. Brain, you know, learning is just as important as food and water, maybe more so.
Yeah.
And this is a chance to learn. And it is a really cool laptop. I've been playing with the software. You know, you can download the operating system.
Yeah.
It's squeaky.
I think maybe we talked about it before you started playing with the software. I'm not sure. But anyway, Jeremiah McNichols of Z Recommends. That's zrex.com.
He's going to give one away.
He's going to be giving one away. Maybe at his site, prizy.net. So check that out. And stay tuned for our interview with Jeremiah. And so now let's do our spend, save, give. You ready?
Spend, save, give. Okay. I am ready.
So the first one is spend. And, you know, finally we're getting some recognition. I found this in like a little toy catalog, the Constructive Playthings catalog. It's this set of vinyl figures that contain all the real heroes. Fireman, policeman, surgeon, pilot, chef.
That's great.
And a guy carrying a computer.
Yay, because we're heroes.
Yeah, so these vinyl little, you know, figurines, and I just thought it was really cute. It's just some guy carrying a computer. I don't know if he's like a computer technician or a guy working in an office, but it's part of this computer guy action figure.
So we're like firemen, policemen.
And chefs.
We're really making a difference in the world.
Guys are, anyway.
Oh, you mean there are no women in this? Well, there's some women.
There's only a guy carrying a computer, not a woman carrying a computer.
But there's a woman doctor.
Yeah, no.
And there's a woman account temp. I don't know what she is.
What she is. And a veterinarian? Does she have an animal in her hand?
She's wearing a pink coat. I don't know what that is.
Maybe
it's hard
she's
to
a
see.
Mom or I don't
and
know.
And then she looks like the woman... The president. That's who she is. And the airline pilot woman?
Yeah.
So there's women in
there. I just thought that was kind of funny, and I'll put it in the in our show notes in case you want to get that for Christmas.
Nice.
To, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And if you eat them, you're not going to go to sleep or anything.
I don't know that for sure. I haven't checked that out, but it's constructiveplaythings.com.
They're pretty safe.
Constplay.com.
Constplay.
And now to the save. This is bfads.net.
You know what's coming.
Black Friday.
Black Friday, baby.
Yeah.
The day after Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah. The biggest shopping day of the year. Personally, I prefer Cyber Monday because I like to shop while I'm being paid by my employer.
You know,
shop online.
The last couple of years, that was the thing. Cyber Monday was that's when all the shopping online happened.
Uh-huh.
The last couple of years, it's been on Friday, too, because everybody has high-speed internet.
Right,
now.
Yeah. So no one's actually going to stores.
And the other thing is, Black Friday sounds so negative.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like the stock market's falling.
But somebody told me that it means they're in the black. That's when they go from the in the red to in the black. But
right,
it does sound like the stock market crash.
Yeah. So anyway, this is a site that is dedicated to Black Friday ads. So check it out, and you can see lots of ads for lots of deals for... next Friday. This coming Friday.
Now you've sucked me in. I can't stop.
Yeah, there's a lot of electronics on here. So, yeah, it's...
Look, the complete James Bond.
And I imagine that these are things you can... These are deals online and also in stores.
You know, it's really neat that websites like this, which collate all these information, really makes the consumer... Puts a consumer in charge.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, fantastic. Black Friday ads.
Visit this money printer. Get your 007 there.
All right, now we get to the give. A lot of the gives that I've been doing lately are actually things you buy, and then the people that you buy it from are giving proceeds, and I think that's okay. Yeah. So this is Rattle and Roll Christmas cards. Now, I'm not nearly hip enough to send out these rock poster Christmas cards, but I think you are, Leo. What this company does is they'll take your photos, and then they do like a little rock star poster, like a music poster, up to four family members.
I like this.
Yeah. And they're really cool. They're very trendy. And, you know, they're you would definitely have one of the most original Christmas cards or holiday cards, not just Christmas cards. And the best thing about this is that after they get their first four orders, which I assume that they have, I think I saw this on Cool Mom Picks, then 100% of the proceeds they're going to give to the Red Cross to help rebuild after the San Diego wildfires, because they're a family that is from San Diego. So I thought that was really interesting. So you can order your holiday cards, be hip, and also help the Red Cross.
Look at these great styles. You could be playing like at the Fillmore West with your, you know, my kids would love this. We could be a rock band.
You should do that.
I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Because we haven't sent out cards in years, and we've been meaning to send them out. So we'll send them out very splashy. Then we don't have to send them out for another 5 years.
Right.
Oh, they have baby announcements? That's neat.
Yeah, they do. I don't know. I think this deal is just on the Christmas cards or the holiday cards. Okay. But it's rattleandroll.com. But yeah, if you're looking for baby announcements, check them out too.
All sorts of stuff.
All right. You want to talk a little bit about Audible?
Boy, this show is really moving along here. Yes, I do. Audible is our sponsor and our good friends. And I feel like they're part of the family, that not only because they have been sponsoring all the Twit podcasts for the last few months, but because I've been using Audible to make my commute so much easier for years. In fact, you and I, when we would carpool in, I would make you listen to those books.
Yeah, you didn't make me.
There was good stuff. But it's hard when you're coming in the middle. So
right,
you were very kind to let me listen.
Yeah.
But that's how addicted I am. I couldn't, you know, you got to hear the next chapter. And I hear from people all the time who say, oh, I love these books so much. I got where I was going and I sat in the parking lot for another half hour because I couldn't stop listening.
Right.
If you love reading, you will love listening. And if you love listening, you will love audible.com. We have a special deal for you. audible.com/monkeys. audible.com/monkeys. When you go there, you can sign up. You get a credit toward your first book, and no obligation, no cost to you. So I think it's a really good way to get your feet wet. They play on almost every device, not the Zune, but all the iPods, many MP3 players. You can burn CDs or listen on your computer. And each show, we like to do this. Right now, by the way, there's a half price sale. It ends November 20th, though, so rush over there. There's somebody rushing over there right now. half priced on 1,000 plus unabridged titles.
Wow.
Good deal.
So I have a book pick. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's called The Emperor's Children. Have you heard of this book?
Is it like The Emperor's New Clothes?
That's what it's... it's a novel, but
is it a grown... It's a grown-up.
It's a grown-up novel for adults, and I just finished it.
It's 18 hours. It's a long book.
It is a long book, but it's a good story.
What's it about?
It's about the New York people living in New York City at the end of the 20th century, kind of, you know, right before...
kind of Gen X, Gen Y?
30s, yeah. But I think it's really interesting. It seems like an old-fashioned novel, sort of, but it really isn't. And the characters...
I'm adding it to my cart right now.
I think
great.
You'd like it. The characters are very unlikable, but at the same time, the book is really good. I can't really explain why that is. Like, it's like Sopranos or something.
Like long audiobooks.
Yeah.
Because they draw you in. The only bad thing about them is at the end, you're so sad because you've really formed an attachment to these people.
Yeah.
You don't want it to ever end.
Yeah,
I'm buying it right now. The Emperor's Children, a novel by Claire Massoud.
Yeah. It was a New York Times pick of the year, I think, notable book of the year, and I really enjoyed it. Just finished it the other day. So
now, did you read it? You didn't.
I read it. I do listen to Audible mostly with kids stuff, though, because I'm just not in the car by myself for that long, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't commute anymore, but I still listen to a lot of books. I just find the time. Like, I do carpool and I listen then. I walk here, and that's 20 minutes or 45 minutes each, whatever it is, a day. So I actually make the time because I just love it so much. Anyway,
all right,
I will add this to my list.
Excellent. And now we are going to talk to Bill, Stefan, and Amy about the Fids and Camley Awards.
Fids and Camley!
Bill, welcome back. And Amy and Stefan, welcome to Jumpy Monkeys.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for asking us.
So who's... okay, that's Stefan. Is it Stefan or Steven?
Stefan.
And
or Stefan, depending on how German you are.
Stefan. Oh,
which
like
do
that.
You prefer?
I really don't notice the difference, to be honest.
Interesting.
Stefan is fine.
Yeah, it's like Megan and Megan. I don't notice the difference.
Just don't call him Chardet. So Stefan, you and Amy and Bill do this thing called Fids and Camley.
Yes. Which is a takeoff of, or a... inspired by the Village Voice's Paz and Jop poll.
Wait a minute, jazz and pop.
Kids and family, fids and kids. You know, it seemed a lot funnier at the time.
You know what's great about it, though? You can Google it, and you won't be... You're the only one. In fact, when I did this, Google said, do you mean Fids and Family?
Yeah, and so my goal, I think our goal should be to have it so that when people type in Fids and Family, it says, do you mean Fids and Camley?
Yes. That's
someday.
A good goal.
That's possible. Just get a lot of bloggers linking to you. I think it could do that.
So these are sort of alternative children's music awards.
Yeah, they are. There are a lot of awards that are done by magazines or other websites, but this is the only one that's sort of a poll where we ask a group of writers to participate.
Mm. So are you, are you all the judges as well?
We're three of them. What were there this year? 19 judges?
19.
Wow.
So it ranges from radio programmers at XM to people who just write about kids' music to everything else.
Some retailers.
That's right.
So is this, how many years have you guys been doing this?
This is only year two.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me. That's an interesting sound. Is somebody getting a dentist?
No, I don't know what that is.
That's coming from your phone.
Is it coming from me?
Yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, it's gone.
From inside the house.
Get out of the house. So Amy and Stefan, are you the ones who run this? I don't understand exactly who does what in this.
The three of us.
And Bill,
I guess,
too.
Bill, Stefan, and I are considered, I guess, the coordinators of the poll. So we recruit the judges. Stefan does the math on the polling. We work on getting the word out about it, doing some publicity, that sort of thing, and communicating to the artists then once the results are out.
And sort of in the credit where credit's due. The idea was clearly Stefan's, and the and the structure of it, which is sort of clever, where every judge chooses the 10 best records, but also has to allocate a total of 100 points among them with some other rules about how many points have to be the minimum, the maximum per record, so that you can put a lot of points on one record if you really want to push that one.
Mm. Interesting.
Which is actually sort of how they do the Paz and Jop poll as well. So, I got to satisfy my inner spreadsheet geek.
So they can weight their vote towards something.
Exactly.
Is there consensus when you look at the numbers? Stefan, you probably see more intimately connected with them than anybody.
Well, you know, compared to last year, there were a lot more CDs. Last year, there were three or four CDs that were on a lot of ballots and were clearly favorites of a number of judges. And this year, while, you know, the top-rated, top-ranked CDs had some broad-based support, there were also CDs, you know, that were lower down on the list. It also had votes from a lot of different judges. So there was definitely consensus, but I think the field of music that a lot of people really liked was larger this year.
That's interesting. It sounds like there's more diversity in kids' music than ever before.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. That there, and I think the other thing that Stefan had mentioned to me another time is that artists are getting better at getting the records out to people so that they are heard by more people.
Yeah, sometimes I feel kids' music is where you go if you can't make it in grown-up music. But that's how it used to be. But that's not that way anymore, is it? I mean, many of these, in fact, are huge bands doing kids' songs.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we could start talking about some of them in the honorable mentions. Andre 3000, not exactly
right. A failure.
Yeah, not hurting on the grown-up side of
right,
things.
Right, right. So now these will be announced today. Yes.
Yep. They'll have, by the time this is on, it'll be heard on the radio show that I do with my daughter here in Massachusetts, and it's a podcast as well.
And that's where the Spare the Rock is where the announcement will be.
That's right. And, well, and we also have a website where there will be reviews of each of the top 10.
Yeah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. And that's fidsandcamily.com. And all of our websites link to that. So sparetherock.com links to it, as does Zoo Global. And Amy, I don't remember your domain name.
Oh, thelovelymrsdavis.com.
I love that. Is that you, the lovely Mrs. Amos?
That's me.
I love it.
And I assume that there will be a link from you guys, too.
Oh, yes, definitely. So should we talk about the winners or?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Maybe we should go from five.
Are there five categories? We have five winners.
Well, what you have is the top five. And I thought we'd at least
five vote getters.
Mention the way that we ended up breaking it up this year is we got five honorable mentions and then we start from 15 and we until number five, we don't have any of the clips for you to play. But I think it's worth mentioning all of them.
Absolutely.
Maybe Stefan and Amy, if either of you have anything you want to say about them. But the honorable mentions were Andre 3000, which was a CD from the TV show.
Class of 3000.
Class of 3000. Thank you. And then Buck Howdy with BB, a record called Chickens. Dean Jones, who I think had the best record name of the year in Napper's Delight. Uncle Rock with Uncle Rock You, and then Mr. David with Jump in the Jumpy House. And I don't know if either of you guys want to say anything about any of those in particular.
Amy?
Stefan? Amy?
Those I thought were some, I think it just goes to show that those are honorable mention and they're still such strong albums from this year. Just goes to show how tight the competition was and how many great albums we had to look at and listen to over the course of the year. It's just an incredibly strong group that we were working with this year.
Really,
an incredibly varied group. I mean, Andre 3000 is obviously sort of hip hop. Buck Howdy is pretty close to classic country. Dean Jones is, I don't know, a little bit more bluegrassy. Uncle Rock used to play with the Fleshtones and is more on the rock end, although some folk aspects to it. And then Mr. David is, I guess, as close as kids music gets to Bob Dylan, although less so in record. I mean, the diversity of styles, I think, is remarkable as well.
Is he a protest artist? I will not go to bed. No. You can't make... Oh, you masters of nap time, you stay away. I don't know. I just thought,
That's
know.
Very nice.
You said the Bob Dylan. I didn't know.
Yeah. So you don't have it broken down into genres yet. They're just...
No, which is actually one of the refreshing things about kids' music is that, you know, it's a hard thing in that you have to be you have to be well versed in a broad range of musical genres, but it's also, I think, a testament that, you know, people can listen to Andre 3000 and Buck Howdy, and I mean, they're both really good CDs, and yeah, they're entirely different styles of music, but I'm not sure kids are really going to care.
It does make putting a radio show together a little challenging.
Well, fun too, though. I mean, I mean, you get to try a lot of different stuff, a lot of different genres. Mm-hmm. So this is exciting. Now, what do these guys win? We're going to play the top five, besides your eternal love and respect.
Well, let's go ahead and... They get nothing. They get to say that they were, you know, 15 through 1 or whatever, a winner or an honorable mention or a nominee in the Fidz and Camley Awards.
That's
and then they
great.
Can link to our site and That's things great. Like that. But we don't have...
trophies.
And by choice, we don't have any corporate sponsors or anything like that.
I kind of like it. It's not like Nickelodeon here. This is like people who love kids' music, and that's who it should be, and parents.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, Stefan or Amy, do you want to walk through like 15 through 6 before we get to the top 5?
Sure. Stefan,
I'll do 15 through 11, and you can do 10 through 6.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good.
So, 15, the Deedle Deedle D's, and they're out of Brooklyn. I know that Bill has seen them a lot. I've seen them once. They're a great live band, and they put out a CD last February or March called Freedom in a Box, which has some of the best songs about historical figures you'll ever hear. And I know that kind of sounds dull, but they're the most raucous songs about historical figures that you'll ever hear. So that's just a lot of fun.
Briefly, that's the record that I voted as number one of the year, just for the record.
I think you talked about that when we had you on the Deedle Deedle.
I did.
You really like them, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, Stefan.
No. They also made my top 10, I know. And I think Amy's
I think they were in my top 10. They were.
Wow.
Joe McDermott, everybody plays air guitar. Joe is based in Austin, and he's got a big following in Austin. And so that CD's a bunch of good pop tunes, and it's also got a live track that's a lot of fun that I think shows just how much of a following he's got in Austin for his live shows. Roger Day with Dream Big at number 13. And that's another album that's sort of like Joe McDermott and kind of real positive kid-friendly pop music. And he's based out of Tennessee, and a lot of really good songs. And he's got a couple guest artists on there that I'm drawing a blank on. But
you got the Crickets from Buddy Holly and the And the guy who did that Cat song and Billy Jonas.
Oh, Billy Jonas.
And Roger's a terrifically nice and incredibly hardworking guy, but just keeps putting together really solid records.
Then at number 12 is a compilation called For the Kids 3 from Network, and they had put out a couple other compilations earlier this decade, and what they've done is sort of collected. If you read Pitchfork, the website, you will probably recognize a lot of the artists on this disc. But beyond that, you know, sometimes you have these kiddie compilations by adult artists, and the songs just aren't very good. But the songs here are really good. I mean, and Mates of State. Of Montreal, the Bare Naked Ladies, for those of you who remember when the Bare Naked Ladies were still lots of fun to listen to, they do a great song on here called, they do the traditional The Other Day I Met a Bear, which is just lots of fun to listen to. And then at 11, just outside the top 10, is a band out of Oklahoma, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Sugar-Free All-Stars, and, you know, they're a band that's put out 3 or 4 albums for adults, but they did their first album for kids called Dos Niños, and they're a drum and piano duo, and it's just funky and fun.
Well, and
that's 15 through 11.
Keyboards and drums, not just piano.
Yeah. Lots of Hammond organ on that.
Oh yeah,
it's fabulous
baby.
Stuff.
Yeah, love that B3.
Yeah. At number 10 is Recess Monkey with Wonder Stuff. They're out of Seattle. Is that correct? And they are music educators who put together this album, which was, I think, fairly experimental compared to a lot of the other music that we've dealt with here.
Well, it's a two-CD set, which is sort of insane.
Yeah. But I know Stefan was a huge fan of this one.
Why is that insane, Bill?
Well, it's just unusual. I mean, for one thing, attention span of children, not necessarily conducive to a 2-record set. And just as a general matter, 2-CD sets are a little, with the age of the single and the download,
right.
It's unusual
it's
to see. Yeah, it's ambitious to see somebody who's trying to, they are sort of trying to tell a story through the whole 2-CD set.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Stefan, you may know more about this than I do, but they did some of this through their summer programs, right?
Yeah, they have a couple summer camps in the summer, obviously, and so they bring in kids to they did various things on the tracks or helped develop the themes or song titles or song lyrics. So, you know, the band definitely was sort of the guiding force here, but they might say, okay, what sort of things might you find in your backpack? And so, you know, there's a song about a backpack, and there's some riffs at the end that the kids help out with, and they have some background vocals on some of the tracks. And, yeah, so I think more than most kids' albums, the kids here were part of the creative process, not just singing, but also sort of coming up with musical ideas that were then later recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the three guys sort of playing for the kids, and they're lots of fun. They're lots of fun.
Cool. At number nine is released by Father Goose, who is a lot of people know him as a member of Dan Zane's band.
Mm.
He put out it's not really a solo record because he has lots of friends playing along on it, including Dan Zane's. It's called "It's a Bam Bam Diddly," not to be confused with Big Bam Boom. and it is
or the
I
Diddly
love that
Diddly
album.
D's. It's all very confusing.
He brings in some great artists on here. A lot of them I'm not really familiar with, but like I said, Dan Zanes is on there. Sheryl Crow is on there. It's got a real Caribbean feel to most of the record. And he's such a dynamic performer. It's great to hear. And I think that comes across in his recordings as well. It's a really, really fun record.
I mean, and he's known as Ranking Don. He's a sort of, mm-hmm. ska performer in the grown-up world as well, although mm-hmm. I think this is probably taking more and more of his time. But that's his background.
Yeah, yeah. At number eight is another compilation, and I don't think we had any compilations last year. I'm trying to remember, but here we have two of them. Both are just fantastic. This one is called Play, and it's by DeSoto Records, which is based in Baltimore. They've also got a lot of current grown-up artists participating in this. One of my favorite tracks on there is This Queen doing a cover of John Fogerty's song Centerfield. but there are Young Fresh Fellows, Mudhoney, several other, you know, current artists that a lot of parents would be familiar with, and just amazing songs that they've done. Mostly original, I think, generally except for Centerfield. Most everything on there is an original. So, great compilation there. At number seven is a band, The Jimmies, which were new to us this year. Their album is Make Your Own Someday. They have a fantastic sound. They have a female on lead vocals who is just incredible and has such great personality there and really, really energetic sound. At number six, Renee and Jeremy, they're kind of the flip side or the opposite of the Jimmies. Very mellow, a lot of lullaby type songs on there. They've got a nice mix of vocals, male and female, and the album is called It's a Big World.
And that record is just flat out gorgeous. I love, love, love that record.
Mm-hmm. Skype said that a couple of extra plugs. I like that.
It's destined to be a gift to a lot of new parents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that brings us up to the top five.
Mm-hmm.
I need a drum roll or something.
And so we
should point out that because of the weighting system, as you said, a lot of the records in the lower area, lower 15, were top 10 picks from many of the judges, I would guess.
Oh, sure.
So these are all great records.
And all the way down. I mean, that's the one thing I didn't count, Stefan. How many records got votes in of at least from at least one judge?
77.
Wow. That's really
yeah.
exciting. Will that list appear on the Fids and Camley site? Or
I think last year, yeah, we included the all everybody getting votes. I apologize, by the way, if it gets noisy in the background here. I appear to have approximately 30 children in my house listening to actually the Baby Loves Jazz CD from last
year. Wow. You have little jazz parties.
I thought I had my the upstairs to myself, but apparently not. So number five is a band out of the Bay Area, and of all things, it's made up of at least two EMTs, like they
emergency medical technicians.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're ambulance drivers. The band's called the Hip Waiters, and the record, and I think the song we're going to play a little clip from is educated kid. And while you play that clip, I'm going to go see if I can turn down the music here. Why don't you go and play that clip?
All right. No, Dad.
Here's the educated, actually the Hip Waiters with Educated Kid.
Clown college, truck and school, beauty college is also cool, I've learned to write, I've learned to read, now I can do most anything, I'm just an educated kid. Get scholarships, student loans, special grants, get school at home, I love to learn and question things, I need the answer to everything,
In the educated kid. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's a great song.
Yeah, I have that album. I love the Hip Waiters.
And I think you turned me on to them.
Yeah,
that
I did. Yeah, we played a song. My kids love it. And yeah. Tito, who I've had a few emails with him, he's great. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a fabulous guy. He's actually guest hosted our show once or twice, and it's always been a lot of fun. And the whole record is just really good, well-crafted, nice little power pop songs. I mean, they're not reinventing anything, but boy, they're good songs. And the more I listen to music, the more I realize that those really good power pop songs are incredibly hard to write, or apparently are incredibly hard to write, because so many people try and fail.
What makes a good kid's song? I mean, is it different from an adult song?
You know, I don't think it has to be. I think, I admit that I do listen to some of this, even otherwise, but I think it has to do with accessibility.
A little simpler in structure, perhaps. The lyrics are obviously appropriate for kids.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot simpler, but I think that certainly helps to draw them in the first place. Stefan, I know you and Amy both have thought about that possibly more than I have. What do you guys think?
I think as far as simplicity, I don't think simplicity is necessarily so important as some repetition or some kind of predictability. I think kids love knowing what's going to happen or being able to repeat lyrics and that sort of thing.
Almost sing-along ability, almost.
Yeah, definitely, to sing along with it. And that's why one of the things I've always stressed with kids' music that I think is really important is that you can understand the lyrics.
Yeah.
And I know I sound like an old lady on that. You can't understand the lyrics.
Mick Jagger never said what he meant.
But it's so true with kids' music. I think kids enjoy it so much more when they know what it's about and they know the words to be able to sing along.
It's not just music, it's a story.
I was going to say I agree with Amy on that. And the one other comment I would have is that one thing that kids' music shouldn't be is somehow produced differently than quote-unquote regular music or adult music. And I think one of the things we're seeing more of is that people, you know, are realizing, well, you know, maybe we actually should be sort of recording this music with a full band, rather than just sort of having a cheesy electronic Casio keyboard. Right. Maybe we can just sort of record the way we would record for adults, except, we'll push the vocals a little up front.
Yeah, unless that's what you're going for. Sometimes this cheesy Casio is good. And there are still, I mean, one of my votes went to somebody who did not end up placing, but to Steve Weeks, who does everything in a home studio, but he spends a ludicrous amount of time on it compared to somebody who just, you know, hits a button on a drum loop and figures that's it.
Well, that's one thing that's really changed since my kids were little, and that's only been 10 years. Is this is much more produced, sounds much more like grown-up music. I mean, it's a real, these are beautiful, really well-done songs.
Yeah, well, and I think, and last time I was on with y'all, we talked about how the cost of entry has come down a lot.
Yeah, anybody can do this now. Yeah.
Yeah. And not everybody does, unfortunately, but if they choose to, and if they've got the skills, they can do it. But the songwriting, I think, absolutely still is top of the list. Best song in the world produced well is still going to be a bad song.
True.
Best song in the world produced well is still going to be a bad song?
No, no, produced poorly.
Well. Oh, okay.
Not produced well.
I'm sorry. I'm easily confused. I apologize.
Or at least nobody's going to be able to tell it's a good song.
That was number five. Let's move on to number four.
Number four is Peter Himmelman with the record is called My Green Kite, and the song's called Feet. And he's got, I was actually looking at this. We've got three of the top five here are people or bands who have
feet.
Really primarily grown up. And at least three of them have feet. Peter Himmelman has been around for a long time doing, he probably hates the term, quirky, sort of folky, poppy rock. And this is what, his second or third kid's record?
I think it's his fourth.
I think at least his third.
Okay. It is what it is. It's smart, quirky, again, well produced and really nicely crafted song. So why don't you go ahead and play
that song. And I want to point out that I'm only playing a minute of each song because we're just going to give you a taste, but you should certainly go out and get the full record if you like what you hear. Mm-hmm. So this is Peter Himmelman, Feet.
My feet take me everywhere. They take me off to anywhere. I love my feet. Out into the street I go, dancing to the beat, you know. I love my feet. My feet take me everywhere, take me off to anywhere. I love my feet. Out into the street I go, dancing to the beat, you know. I love my feet.
It loves its feet.
My feet, they got five little toes apiece. They bring me a joy that just doesn't cease. Yeah.
See, that could easily be a Kinks song. I mean, that could many adult songs would sound just like that. That's yeah. But the subject is very good. I like that. Feet.
And who doesn't love their feet?
That's great.
Some number.
I love my feet more now.
Oh, yeah.
after having it drawn your attention drawn to them.
Sure, yeah.
Moving up to number three, we have another band, although their day job or their grown-up music they record under a different name as the New Amsterdams. For a kid's record, they record as the Terrible Twos, and the record is called If You Ever See an Owl. And it's again, just sort of delicious, sweet little pop songs that are appropriate for kids. And the record actually had sort of went through bizarre limbo. It took a long time for it to come out in any way other than being sold to people at shows, but I sure am glad it finally came out. And the song I think we sent you was When I Get to 11, which is all about a kid deciding that 11 was a good age and he's not going to turn 12.
I love it. When I Get to 11, the Terrible Twos.
Tim is only 10 years old. He made his mind up long ago. I won't grow to be old, 11 will suit me fine. So he stopped eating peas, stopped eating broccoli. He won't eat anything to help him build big strong bones. So in his bed he'll lay, he'll fold his arms and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. When I get to 11, I don't want to grow no more. Other kids would ask a Tim really what was wrong with him. He would not answer them. Tim would only walk away. It's not that 10 was bad, 12 would make him mad. Just that 11 was the best number to be.
That's a great song. I love that. When I Get to 11, the Terrible Twos. When I Get to 11. I like that. Hold on a second, but let me turn you up there. I turned you down.
I think getting back to your question about what makes a good kid song, one of the things is having it be about something that kids can relate to.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I have an 8-year-old who I do the show with, and every so often she talks about how she likes the age she is.
Yeah.
She doesn't really want to get older. I think that's a fairly common theme. I guess it's a fairly common theme for grown-ups too, for that matter.
No one wants to get older.
Oh, I always wanted to be the next
Actually,
age.
When I was a kid, I did, yeah.
Oh, really?
I guess it changes.
Yeah.
So now we should say we're playing one song, but the album is the winner. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not choosing singles or anything like that. We are not, although, in fact, Casey Kasem, even if we sound.
Although we're definitely getting to the point where these albums are chock filled with great songs, and you know it's hard to pick out one. You know.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. You also pointed out that this album was released or was sold mostly at concerts at first. Are all of these bands touring? I mean, is that pretty common? Is that how they get to be known first?
I think so. I mean, I'm just looking over the list. It depends on sort of who it is you're talking about. The Terrible Twos, as you know, their grown-up iteration is the New Amsterdams. They don't really... The kid stuff, I don't think, is something they're thinking of as being a huge part
business.
Of
yeah.
their business. Yeah. And certainly things like the Sound Sheets Makers and Peter Himmelman, not so much. But the rest of them are, I think, touring a lot. Regional tours, mostly. I mean, we've had the Deedle-Deedle-Dees come up as far as here. I'm in Western Massachusetts, so it's a few hours for them. But most of the rest of these folks tour regionally, not nationally.
And this is mostly in like concerts during the day, or where are they? Where are people seeing them most?
A lot of them do a lot of library shows and school shows, assemblies and things like that. And then a fair number of them, once you get up sort of one notch higher, will do shows at, I mean, it depends on where you are, but I moved up here from D.C., and in D.C., there was a club in Arlington that would have Saturday afternoon shows where they have, you know, Dan Zanes or Justin Roberts, and you'd go up, order a Shiner Bock and a juice box, which is a nice
I could take that right now. I think it's great for kids to see live music, though.
Yeah.
That's really so important. I mean, listening to it's one thing, but to see it performed is really key.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I think it's changing a lot. I know the Hip Waiters played at a club in San Francisco recently, and I went on the website, and there was, you know, something that said, like, doors don't open till 9 p.m. I was like, what? But, you know, it was just...
So take a nap.
Yeah, like, it was a daytime show. It was during the day, but, like, they hadn't adjusted their website to the fact that they were doing daytime shows. It was kind of, it was funny.
9 p.m. the night before.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So we're the 10 a.m. show.
And Steph and I both went to, but he did a tremendous job of covering the Austin City Limits Music Festival this year, which had an entire stage just for kids.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's so great. Yeah, seeing live music is really an inspiration for kids and gets them into it and gets them excited about it.
Yeah, I don't know, Stefan, what did you think about the kids' music at the Big Rock Festival?
It's an odd combination. I mean, it really is, because you've got the I think a lot of people who go to the festival aren't thinking, you know, I'd like to take my kids to the festival. And you know, I was lucky because I have family in Austin, and so I could drop the kids off. I went with my daughter, and so we stuck around for the day when the kids' acts are playing. And at 4 o'clock, when they finished, exited the grounds. A friend came and picked up my daughter, and I went back in. And so I went and saw Crowded House and Spoon, and you know, it was great. But it was also one of those things where if I had had my daughter with me, I would have felt a little weird, like I couldn't really enjoy it as much. You know, so it's, I think it's an uneasy combination, and I think it's nice having that there, but I also think that there may be time, there may get to a point where it's better just to have those kids stages separated, have instead of having Kidzabalooza or Austin Kitty Limits mixed in with the big stuff, just have a small touring version that goes to the same cities.
Interesting.
All right, let's get to our next song. What do you say?
So speaking of Austin, it's a band, and this is my second best record. The one I voted for is number 2, as I recall, and sure enough, it comes out as number 2 overall. It's the Asylum Street Spankers, and talked about this last time we were on, too. And the album's called Mommy Says No, and this, I think even more than most, is really hard to pick one song from the record because it has a really wide variety of styles on there from... I don't know if you can have punk rock bluegrass, but they do in a Nirvana cover of all things. And then this song is a very sweet song about somebody wanting to be a superhero sidekick, and it's sung by Christina Mars, who I think has a gorgeous voice. So the song Sidekick on their record. Yeah, I think you've got it.
It's funny, except for the addition of the banjo, that really could be like a Sarah McLachlan song. Or, I mean, it's but then the banjo kicks in, and it's like, oh, yeah, kid song.
Yeah, and I think the I mean, it's one of the things that they do that, and there are only a handful of bands that I think do a nice job, is sort of recognize the not quite exactly the sad parts necessarily, but the tougher parts. And,
yeah,
and there's like a really sweet spot where, you know, we could have cool matching outfits. It'd be so great. And I just think that's such a sweet, very kid-like thing. You know, we could have matching outfits. I could be your sidekick.
Right.
I think more so than most albums, this album has a broader emotional range than most of the kids' albums, because there's some albums that are definitely sort of snotty, for lack of a better word, and then there are songs like that one that's just, you know, got a big old heart on its sleeve.
Sweet.
And
I love this album.
Especially the ones with Christina singing, which I think are the ones that she wrote.
How do kids like that? Do they get the nuance? I mean, maybe it's for older kids.
My kids love this album.
Really?
Yeah, they. I don't know if they get the nuance, but Huck, who's 2.5, was trying to say something to me the other day, and I realized that he was saying, "Mommy, you only love me for my lunchbox," which is actually a track on the song.
That's a little scary. That's
wow! I'm sorry you said that. That's awesome.
Thankfully, he doesn't actually have a lunchbox. So,
wow, he's quoting songs to you. That's neat. Wow, that's great.
So that brings us up to the top one, which is yet another sort of completely different approach, and it is a music poll. Don't get me wrong, but this is the record is a record called "Have You Never Been Yellow." I guess you'd call it a group called Gustavo Yellow Gold, although it's mostly this guy, Morgan Taylor, lives in New York, who is a sound engineer by trade. He's been, you know, Joseph Arthur's sound engineer and all sorts of very high-end work doing that stuff. And he's got this character named Gustavo Yellow Gold, who's from the sun, and he comes to Earth and finds a friend of his who's an eel, and has various adventures, as you would think somebody from the sun would have. And I guess also sort of like the Spakers, to some extent, there's a real range of emotion on this, too. And he's willing to, more so on the first one of the Wide Wild World, which is the first record. But there's a range of emotions about sort of the challenges of being somebody from the sun living on the Earth. And I don't even know what else to say about it. What do you guys, Stefan or Amy?
I think this is one that, because of his sound, it's very familiar sounding to parents. I think if you take away the lyrics and what all the songs are about, it sounds like a lot of music that a lot of parents listen to. So I think that gives it some really nice appeal there. But the stories that he tells are so amazing and so creative and fun for kids. That it's just a great family album and DVD too.
Oh, and I guess I didn't say about the DVD. I don't go ahead and describe the DVD. I mean, what the animation is like.
It's simple animation and just so easy to follow along. I know with the first album, my kids loved watching it, and my older son would read the lyrics along. They're part of the the series of, I guess, just drawings, you know, in a series. It's not high-tech animation at all, which is really interesting, I think, for kids today to get to see when they see so much of the Pixar-type work. This kind of takes it back to a much simpler time.
It's gorgeous in its own way. I mean, but I mean, and definitely the fact that there's a DVD associated with it may have helped its ranking in the poll, but I know I listened to the CD a good half dozen times before I ever watched the DVD because I wanted to get a sense of just the music, and the music holds up without the visuals. And so, I mean, the visuals are a wonderful treat, but the music itself is also great.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. It does. It definitely stands well on its own.
Yeah, I didn't mean to shortchange the music at all. The way that Morgan describes the DVD is as a moving storybook, or at least that's how he describes the live performances, which are in their own right amazing. And I think that's probably the best description, because most people when they hear animation think it's going to be some sort of frenetic sort of Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network thing, and it's not that at all. It's much more of what you'd think a moving storybook would look like.
Mm-hmm. More like film strips from back when we were in school. I think most of us, a lot like those, where it would be kind of just screen by screen through a story.
Hmm. So the song is Pinecone Lovely that we chose, although there are lots of good songs on there. So I don't know if you want to go and play that.
Yeah.
Just one smell and you will believe. Where I come from, we don't have these. I hear them calling down to me. I hear them calling from the trees. One for your brother, one for your sister. Sandwich or a pretty vista.
This sounds like a grown-up song. I mean, that's beautiful, and I could see that it's a story. I mean, it's almost, you almost feel like I don't know. This could be a great album for everybody.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
well, we've got people. They're actually coming up and playing a show in my town in a couple weeks, and I already know a lot of people who don't have kids who are coming to this show. Mm-hmm.
I like the story. It sounds a little David Bowie-esque. I mean, the music is great. I mean, that sounds wonderful. I can't wait to hear more.
Any one of these would be sort of great gifts for any number of people, too, just to put that commercial plug in there for you.
Every one of them.
Gustafur Yellow Gold as Ziggy Stardust. Discuss.
Yes. I mean, it really is a little Ziggy. Steven sounds a little Ziggy Stardust to me. I mean, and I loved that album. Wow, that's great. Really
so
neat.
You played all of these tracks on your show this morning, right?
That's right.
So if people
want to listen. Well, the top 10 will do, not the full 15, I don't think.
So the top 10. So if you want to listen to all those, you can get that podcast at sparetherock.com, correct?
Yep.
And your site, Amy, is thelovelymrsdavis.com?
That's correct.
It's a great site, and I recommend the top 20 kids albums for parents who can't stand kids' music.
I also like your regular segment minivan rotation.
It's good inspiration.
Yes. And yes. Stefan, your zooglobal.com.
That's correct.
And you do you review every day or every?
No, I try, but I hope generally two or three reviews a week. So
that's a lot.
Which used to be, I think two to three a week a couple years ago. Uh-huh. I probably would have been reviewing some that I didn't like all that much. That's pretty much what it takes to just sort of keep up with stuff that's good or better at this point. There's just so much out there right now.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Make sure you visit the website fidsandcamley.com, and you can get the list of all the songs, links, and you can even buy the music as well. So you have a chance to buy those CDs. I'm going to go out and order a few of these right now. I don't, and my kids are too old. I'll be listening.
And there'll be reviews of the top 10 on the site as well by the time you're hearing this.
So here's a question for all of you. When your kids grow up, you're still going to listen to kids' music? Amy?
Boy, no. I'll probably try to find some excuse to listen to it.
How about you, Bill? You're stuck. This is your career now. You're going to have to do this forever. The whole law thing is over.
Well, you know, I just got hired by Parenting to do some of their music stuff, Parenting Magazine. And so I guess I'm doing this for a while yet anyway, but I still have a 5-year-old, so I still have an excuse. So I don't know what the answer to that question is. Probably.
Stephanie?
Well, and you know, I mean, there are definitely some songs. I don't know if I necessarily listen to every album, but I heard Educated Kid driving on the radio, driving in on the way to work on satellite radio. And I listened to the whole thing. I mean, that's just a great song. And, you know, I think there are a lot of songs here in this top 10 list and top 15 list that are just gorgeous, wonderful, moving, fun songs that, in fact, I should say, I've got a little iPod shuffle, and I put it on when I go running in the mornings, and I've got a few kids' songs on there.
It's come a long way. I mean, I tell you, if you'd asked me this, my kids are 15 and 13. If you'd asked me this a couple of years ago, I'd say, if I have to hear Baby Beluga one more time, I'm going to throttle somebody. But it has come a huge way. And nothing wrong with Raffi, but it's just we've come so far. And this stuff is real music now. It's interesting. I think my kids grew up in what was effectively the glam rock era of kids' music, where it just really wasn't very good. Times have changed, and it's really improved quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many of these bands were playing back then, but they're just now becoming to the forefront.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
Thanks for your part.
Congratulations.
See you again next
year. Yeah, congratulations. The FIDS and Camley Music Awards are out. Read more at Zoo Global or Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, or The Lovely Mrs. Davis Tells You What to Think. Amy Davis, Bill Childs, Stephen Shepherd, thanks for joining us. FIDS and Camley. You weren't saying it wrong.
I was. No, I didn't know that it was modeled after that that jazz and pop and jazz.
Jop and Paz.
I've heard a lot about that poll. It's supposed to be like the real
Voices
musical.
Like the serious. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they do it anymore, but I don't know.
They, on their website, I notice, on the FIDS and Camley website, they say not related to the Fop and Jazz.
I see.
The Village Voice Paz and Jop Awards.
But yeah, I'm really excited to listen to buy some of
that last one, the yellow thing,
yeah,
the pine cone thing.
The list will be at jumpingmonkeys.com.
Gotta go to Jumping Monkeys and click that, because I'm gonna buy that. That's that to me sounded like a grown-up CD that I would like to hear.
Yeah, so far I've bought a lot of Bill's recommendations, and I've never been disappointed.
Yeah, and your kids love them.
They're always, and my kids' friends also request them. We were talking a little bit about the Hip Waiters, which are one of the top five.
They sound good, too. I like
them. They're great, and I have that album, and it's funny. Annabella goes to gymnastics with a friend, and the commute, you know, where the Redwood Empire gymnastics, it's like a 5-minute commute or whatever, and he's only in our car then, and he always asks for the Stuffed Animal Boy, which is the Hip Waiters. And it's because I'm so heartwarmed by this, because when I first was putting kids' music on, and I was like, well, Caden, what do you like to listen to? And he said, Lily Allen. Do you know Lily Allen?
Lily Allen, no.
She's this like Brit pop kind of, and she's good, funny. But like the lyrics are not kid friendly at all. No, but I just was like, oh man, like Annabella is totally not as cool as you, but now I've turned him onto the Hip Waiters, so it's all good.
That's really cool. All right.
So do you want to talk about our other sponsor, Khajiit?
Oh, I forgot about Khajiit.
How could you forget about Khajiit?
I can't forget about Khajiit. We love Khajiit. You actually, we first found Khajiit when you did a review of Khajiit. These are cell phones for tweens, for younger kids who are probably not old enough to have a real cell phone. But, you know, I don't care if you're 8 or 9 or 10 or 11. Nowadays, with kids, they're so mobile, they go around. It's great for them to have a cell phone because you can reach them. You can say, where are you? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And if they're stuck somewhere, they can reach you. I don't think it's even an option anymore in our modern age. I know that sounds weird. I used to be kids' cell phones, but no, you need them. Now, should they have a regular cell phone? No, you need a Khajiit. Khajiit is pay-as-you-go, no long-term contracts, really cool phones that kids will like, and special tools for mom and dad for managing the budget and the usage. So you control it. It's great for kids and great for parents. And they've gotten great reviews from not just Time Magazine and you know, CNET, but from Megan Maroney on the Jumping Monkey. Read the Jumping Monkeys blog.
Yeah.
KAJEET.com. And some of these phones, I tell you, kids have it so good today. Some of these phones are really cooler than
your phone,
my phone,
your iPhone.
Yeah. And they're affordable, available at Target. They have a whole variety from Sanyo, from Samsung, from LG. I like this pink Sanyo Katana too. It's got a camera.
They also come with stickers.
Oh, they do? Yeah. Now, your kids are probably too young.
They're enjoying the stickers, but
so
yeah.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to keep the phone and use it when they get older?
Yeah. I mean, there's no...
Even in our small town, if Henry didn't have a cell phone, we would not know where he is all day.
Yeah. And the best thing is, I mean, I can keep it and not... You pay by the day. Right. Like, so I don't, you know, have the service anymore. But
when when time comes, you just...
I'll still have the phone.
Reactivate it at Kijit.com.
Yeah.
So just at least do us a favor. Look at the website. Kijit for Kids tells them kids all about what they're getting. Kijit for Parents tells parents why it's great for you and why kids like it, too. And take a look at the Kijit Configurator. That is so, so cool. You can say what hours they can use the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What phone numbers they can call.
What phone numbers they can call. I mean, I wish I had this. KAJEET.com. Kijit, we thank them so much for supporting Jumping Monkeys.
You know, Leo, I have so much email and so many voicemails.
We don't have time.
But we don't have time. I have to go relieve the babysitter, sadly.
Well, we don't want this show also to get longer than an hour.
I know. So it's not all about me.
It is all about you. No. Always is. Tell you what, let's put the, we got, like I said, we really appreciate all the feedback. We're getting a lot of voicemails now. Mm-hmm. Let's put all that on hold for next week. We have a great guest next week, Jeremiah, Jay, I call him Jay, of ZRex.com. He is, he's going to be a lot of fun. And we will announce our winners, contest winners in 2 weeks.
Right.
Do you want me to play one more time?
Sure.
Well, you can go while I play it. How about that? She really wants to get out of here.
I don't want to get out of here.
One
but,
more
you know,
time. Listen carefully.
Okay. Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Who am I? Who am I? I am the guardian of lost souls. I am the powerful, the pleasurable, the indestructible Mushu.
He is quite a catch, isn't he?
No, stop it.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, there's a big surprise. That's an incredible... I think I'm going to have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
All right, there you go. Megan's gone. Boy, she got out of here fast. See you, Megan. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody. We love you. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye, Megan. On Jumpin' Monkeys. Yeah. I'm in charge now. It's my... I thought you left.